all-new 2022 Nissan Frontier. With best-in-class standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-foot of torque. Comparison based on 2022 Frontier S versus latest in-market Ward small truck segment. Base models compared based on manufacturer's website.
The chase is on for the 2021 World Series, and only one team can take the crown. 6 months of baseball, 162 games, and it all comes down to October. The road to the Fall Classic is never easy. Every pitch, every at-bat matters so much more. It's October, and this is postseason baseball. Make it major. The American League Championship Series presented by Loan Depot continues today with Red Sox Astros at 1:20 Pacific. Only on Fox and FS1. Go to MLB.com/postseason for the full schedule.
Your life, your hopes, your passions. These things are none of our business. Your baby monitor research. If you're using too much diaper cream.
And whatever you were searching for at 1:15 a.m.
That's really none of our business. Because your life is private. And unlike other tech companies, we think your internet should be too. Aw, how old are they? That's none of our business either. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Why do we find popping bubble wrap so satisfying? Why do we say boop when we touch somebody's nose?
Boop?
Why do we turn anything and everything into drums?
Honey, I need those pots to start dinner.
Why do we sing in the shower?
I'm taking a shower.
And outside the shower.
This conference call is boring.
Rick, you are not on mute.
Why? For the same reason we play scratchers from the California Lottery. Because a little play can make your day. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Hi. Feeling random? Do you wear your Friday pajamas on Tuesdays? The new 105.3 Dave FM is totally random radio, and we play piles of random songs in random order, guaranteed, or your money back. We'd love for you to check it out. Listen today, because music.
Finding a comfortable and welcoming place to lease a new BMW or return your current BMW lease just got that much easier. BMW of Fairfield opened in the Fairfield Auto Mall this past July, and we provide a luxurious, all-encompassing experience to address all of your BMW needs. Whether it's time to return your BMW lease from another BMW center, explore current leasing options, or you simply want to learn more about the process, we're here to help. Visit BMWFairfield.com to book your visit. We look forward to showing you how easy automotive ownership can be.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems. And if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
Creamy nut butter makes it delightfully sweet. Roasted nuts make it perfectly salty. Get two great tastes in one delicious bar. Enjoy a Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Nut Bar today.
Red Hot Chili Peppers are coming to Levi Stadium on July 29th next year. At 95.7 The Game wants you to be there. Visit the contest page on 957thegame.com to enter now.
Bay Area! It's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast. You're listening to KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
No balls, two strikes. And Flores, did he go?
He did! And the game ends! A swinging strike three.
No.
Gabe Morales rings him up. The game is over, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are headed to the National League Championship Series.
You said it, Ron Darling. No, say it isn't so. The Giants' amazing and dreamlike quest for another ring has ended. Shipwrecked on the rocky shore of baseball reality. Where did the Giants' offense go? Why did Camilo Doval throw slider after slider after slider after slider? And is Gabe Morales really a worse umpire than Angel Hernandez? Is that even possible? These are some of the questions we're going to answer today with your help at 888-957-9570. With you until 4:30, Shamari Block. The block is hot.
And
Whitey Gleason. Yeah, two guys from Vallejo. I don't know, Shamari, still dealing with the bitter defeat and considering the botched check swing call on Wilmer Flores. I mean, what a just a terrible way for this wonderful season to end.
Oh, man. Listen, Whitey, first things first, if I got to be on in this somber day, man, I'm glad I'm on with you, okay?
Thank you.
You bring me some positivity because the block is hot right now. Also, Whitey, literally hot. It is apparently, according to the thermostat, it is 77 degrees here in the studio, and I'm kind of sweating, right? But also, you know what's so funny is that I watched that happen. I watched it play out. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then after a while, I'm like, well, you know what? He was in an 0-2 hole. It was two strikes. You know, it was two outs already. It was Max Scherzer. What happens if he goes on to live to swing another swing, right? Could have been a home run, but the numbers say it wouldn't. But then I go out in the world, and I see friends of mine that aren't even Giants fans. Raiders fans, okay? Not you know, I don't watch any baseball, but I was watching that, but I'm a Raiders fan. And you know what? The group that has most empathy for Giants fans right now, as far as I've experienced, are the Raiders fans. And they're comparing this to Tuck Rule. And I don't know if I would make that parallel, but I think Raiders fans are feeling Giants fans pain right now. And
yeah,
hey,
it's a great
shout
point.
Out Raider Nation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They've had quite a week themselves. Good luck against the Broncos. You can hear that game. That'll be the second game of our doubleheader here on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, and I, you know, Shamari, I've tweeted right after. I said, that's about as bad of a call as you will ever see in any sport. And somebody did actually tweet back at me, you know, the Tuck Rule. And I'm not saying it was the worst call ever. Most importantly, I'm not saying that, to your point, I'm not saying, oh, that cost the Giants the game. I know that. You know, I've heard from a lot of Dodger fans, stop whining, it wouldn't have mattered, and what about the error by Turner? I know all of that. It's just too bad that such a great series with really good TV ratings and so many people watching, that it ended that way. Now, maybe Wilmer Flores would have done something. I agree with you. I mean, the odds are he's probably going to make it out anyway. But for it to end on that, I mean, I think that's why Ron Darling, you know, I was kidding, but you said it, Ron Darling, when on that play we just played. When he's saying no, because he knows, like, you can't end this series on that. And I know that the Giants benefited from maybe a worse call in July when Ed Hickok said that Darren Ruff, that, oh, no, that's not a swing, it's a walk. I mean, that was a terrible call, too. So that's my point, not that this was the Giants got cheated. It's just an awful way for a great series to end. And I've never been more open to robot umpires. I'm not pro-robot umpires. I was always very strongly anti. But after that series and a number of, you know, bad calls, Chris Bryant should have walked in the fourth inning, and it was called a strike. And I think overall, Eddings, the home plate ump, I think he had – the numbers were, no, he made a lot of good calls in that game five. But he made a lot of bad – the bad calls were really bad. So it was just too bad to see it end that way.
Wait. How have you watched Angel Hernandez call balls and strikes – for over a decade and be against robot umpires? I mean, that's been enough for me, man. That's been enough for me for the last decade. And, like, I don't care if it's literally a robot out there, okay? If you have Rosie from the Jetsons out there calling balls and strikes, I don't care, man. I have been with the robot umpires, quote unquote. And funny, the people, it'll take the human element out. They're not going to, you know, put a robot out there. It's going to be an umpire with the thing in his ear, and then it's going to be like, that's a ball. I don't think it's going to affect pace. I don't think it's going to affect the game at all, except for a strike is a strike and a ball is a ball. And that's what you want. That's what you want. And then you still have to figure out check swing. I don't know how to figure that out. Robot, I don't know how a robot can help, but somebody, Bezos or who's my guy? Tesla guy. Well, one of you guys get on that check swing, figure that out for us.
Elon
please.
Musk?
Elon Musk, Bezos, one of those guys, man, get on this, okay? Because Zuckerberg, one of you guys help us out, because that also can never happen again.
Great point, Shamari. If you check the rule book, I don't know if you have. If you check the rule book, it doesn't tell you what a swing is. And I think that's one of the things we need to fix. And again, I'm not saying that's why the Giants lost, but it was embarrassing Both times it happened this year, Giants-Dodgers. But for that series to end this way, and it was unfortunate. That was Gabe Morales, right? And
Gabe
he's
Morales.
Like, yeah, I saw it again. I don't know.
Apparently Gabe Morales is the Giants' Scott Foster.
Ooh.
Seriously.
Maybe so.
There are stats that back this up. And, you know, whatever. We're losing percentages for umpires.
He's from Santa Clara, too. I think he's from the area, too.
Oh, okay. So maybe he got cut or something? I don't know.
Maybe he's overcompensating. Maybe deep down he's pulling for the Giants, and he's like, I got to be unbiased. Maybe he overcompensates for that. Ted Barrett, of course, as you probably heard, the crew chief, when he was asked, hey, Gabe saw the replay after seeing the replay. Does he still think it was a swing? And Ted Barrett said, quote, he doesn't want to say. It's like a Beatles song. It's like, oh, my goodness. So it was a terrible call, but also the rule is awful because at least in college, it's like it's a swing if the bat goes past home plate or past the batter's hip. Major League Baseball, it's a swing if the umpire says he's offered at it. That's all it says. It's like if the umpire rules that he swung, then he swung. And so we could fix that, right? It's too late. But we could fix that.
What I hear, if he offered at it, I think about how long baseball's been around since the 1800s, and that language just sounds like it's 150 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, if he offered at it, then it's, what does that even mean, if he offered at it?
Right. Great question. On the other hand, you know, you could end up with a situation where, you know, in the NFL, when they had to define, what is a catch? It's like, we all know what a catch is. We don't need someone to define that. So, you know, things could get worse. If they got the cat who decided what a catch is in the NFL and said, hey, help us determine what a swing is, I mean, that would be worse. I could see how things would get even worse. But it could be better. That said, congratulations to the Dodgers, whatever.
Congratulate the Dodgers. Whitey, come on.
Come on. That's a pretty good team over there.
Oh,
pretty good club.
But oh no. There's an old adage, never hate, congratulate. And I'm all about that, Whitey. I'm all about never hating and always congratulating. Except for when it's the Dodgers, okay? Never, always hate, never congratulate when it comes to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Oh, no, no. They're not a great team. Okay, they are a great team. But
I
don't like them, though. I don't like them. They stink, and I don't like them.
Do you agree with me on this? I think if you're really a bitter Giants fan and you just want to see the Dodgers suffer here, and I mean in a sports sense, I don't mean literally suffer, then I think you want the Dodgers – well, you want them to lose to the Braves. But I there could be a special satisfaction for Giants fans if the Dodgers get into the World Series and if they play the Astros, the team that robbed them in 2017 because they cheated, they took our ring away. And then if they were to lose to the Astros after all that came out and, oh, this is it, we're going to show them, that would be, I think, delicious for Giants fans to see the Dodgers get the Astros again and lose to them again.
Whitey, on Friday night or Thursday night, I'm talking to Martha and Vallejo, and that is also her dream scenario of what will happen. Like, lose to Dusty with the Astros. That's what she wants. And you know what? I think I'm on the same boat with you and Martha and Vallejo, man, because I definitely don't. But I'll be honest, if they get swept by the Braves, I'll be equally as happy. I do, as much as the Trash Rolls, you know, and the whole cheating scandal I was down on them for. You bring in Dusty Baker, and I'm on your side, right?
Yeah.
Like, Dusty Baker, let's get Dusty a ring. That's what I'm on right now. Ring for Dusty. And again, if he beats the Dodgers, that will make it all the more sweet.
Yeah, I'm with you. Love Dusty. On the text line here, 888-957-9570. Change the rules or add reviews of plays, but no robo-umps. The New Yorker magazine did a great article on this a couple of months ago. That's from the 415. All right, maybe I'll look up that article. From the 510, the Dodgers trolled the Giants by posting a pic of the team at Oracle. The Giants should have photoshopped Gabe Morales into the picture.
Oh, God. I love that. 510, good call.
And someone else from the 415, and please put your name on it. That call didn't lose a series. The fact that the Giants didn't score runs was a determining factor. I know that. Again, we're not saying, neither Shomari nor I are saying that, well, that's what caused the Giants the series. It was just sad that this wonderful season had to end that way. But you're right. Shomari, the Giants, what happened to the offense? They just weren't able to score any runs. Was this a flame out after this wonderful season? Did this miraculous Giants team just flame out against the Dodgers?
But here's, I don't know that the offense flamed out, man. I think that when the lineup came out and they were starting Knebel, the righty, and ahead of the lefty Urias, who was, you know that's who they're going to pitch most of the game with, right? It created a thing, and I was like, that worried me. That worried me, and the reason I thought we were going to win is we have Logan Webb. We have Logan Webb. Logan Webb's going to go out there and shut the door, and he did for the most part. But he didn't. He gave up one run, and then Duvall gave up another run, and, that's all it took. But when you look at that move, it's like, okay, so you know how, like, a bigger fighter would want a smaller ring against a smaller, quicker fighter? Like, that's what David Roberts did when he gave up the starter. He took away the Giants' ability to tinker. And just because the Dodgers have more raw power and more we'll hit it out the park, lefties, righties, they have more of those guys, the Giants' ability to play the matchup game was greatly diminished. And no other greater reason is, could you imagine if Lamont Wade would have had, more than one at-bat at the end of the game if they could have put him in for a couple of at-bats in the 6th through 9th inning, but they took away the ability to tinker. Those first two innings, you had the lefty lineup of mostly righties because you're waiting for Urias, and you had two lefty relievers, righty relievers come in to kind of quiet those right-hand bats, and that was a hell of a play, man. It really was.
I agree with you. I don't know how big of an impact it had. They did get Yastrzemski and LaStella out of the game early, and then Dickerson had to pinch it in a spot where you maybe wouldn't have been your first choice because of that. I agree. I thought it was really smart. Again, I don't know how much of an impact it had. I'm surprised the Giants didn't see more of that this year. Of course, teams, they don't like to shake up their rotations. And even in this case, my understanding is, as you may have read, the Dodgers, they had to go to Urias, make sure he's okay with it, talk to the team. This is what we want to do. Everybody on board with that. So, yeah, I thought it was really smart. Maybe there were some head games involved too. But, yeah, smart because that's, to your point, that's what the Giants did so well this year. They maximize matchups. And then you took a little bit of that away. But ultimately it came down to the fact that the Giants offense just disappeared against that excellent Dodger pitching. And by the way, on the text line, somebody's wondering, why do you want the Astros? Nobody wants the Astros. I can see how if you're an A's fan right now, you certainly don't want the Astros. If you're an A's fan, I don't know who you're rooting for, right? You don't want the Astros. You don't want the stinking Red Sox. You don't want the Dodgers. I guess you're pulling the Braves.
Yeah. You're going Atlanta in four, and then Atlanta in four again. All in all, though, because this question came up a whole bunch late in the season as the Giants they were hurling towards clinching the division, and they were leading the Dodgers the whole way. And the question was asked over and over again, what constitutes a successful season for the Dodgers, for the Giants? So here we are, season's over, 5-game series lost to the Dodgers. Was this season a success?
It was a massive success, And I know the way it ended is it stings, but you look at, again, where they were. I know what I expected of them, what most people expected of them was maybe if everything goes perfectly, maybe they're in the wild card race in the last week of the season. And to win more games than anybody won in baseball, yeah, it sucks losing to the Dodgers, but this was a hugely successful season. Now, they only have one pitcher under contract right now for next year, so they got a lot of work to do this offseason to make sure they're anywhere near what they were this season. But I think it was a hugely successful season, and I really don't see how anyone could argue to the contrary.
Yeah, I'm happy. Whitey, I am a happy man, okay? I really am. And I'm not as happy as I would be had they beat the Dodgers, right? Obviously, I'd be more happy. I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed in my guys. I'm not disappointed in the front office. I'm not disappointed in Kapler, man. I feel good about this team. I feel good about what happened this season. And I feel really good about next season. Like, that line to get season tickets is going to go back to a couple seasons out. Why? Because this team looks legit. They got it done with honestly middling talent at most positions. And what happens in the offseason if they go out and they get a Castellanos and they re-sign Bryant and they bring in a Marcus Semien and add that oomph into this lineup along with all the other matchup nightmares you have, right? Then you add a few more. Legit, we hit righties, we hit lefties, go ahead and try to platoon, whatever. Like, they need a few more non-platoon guys to stabilize his order, and then you kind of play the platoons in like the 7-8 position or something. But I think when you're going platoon in the 3 and 4 spot consistently, that I feel that they perform admirably given the talent they had, like above and beyond.
Yeah, Marcus Semien would be a really good fit, multiple positions. And he actually has reverse splits. I think he hit righties better than lefties, so he'd be a real good fit. But they got to make sure they bring back some of their pitchers or find, you know, Gausman's got to come back. He's a free agent. Wood's a free agent. DeSclafani's a free agent. So, yeah, I know that Farhan has said, we've talked to everybody. We would like to bring everybody back. But if they don't, they've got a real problem. On the text line, text of the month nominee from the 925. The logos for the remaining playoff teams, Boston, L.A., Atlanta, Houston, spells blah. That's pretty good. Boston, L.A., Atlanta, blah. Houston, blah.
Yeah.
From the 707, Ice Tea in Waikiki by way of Vallejo. If Angel Hernandez and company are the best MLB has to offer, especially in the postseason, they're in big trouble going forward. Yeah, performance during the regular season is only part of what goes into selecting the postseason umpires, but that was just a bad look. 888-957-9570. Gene in Oakland joins us, 95.7 The Game. Thanks for hanging, Gene. What's up?
Hey, fellas. So hey. Just to let you know, I'm actually an A's and a Giants fan.
Good for
and
you.
A Boston fan, because that's where I come from. But
nice.
I would say that the reason the Giants lost is pretty simple. They just don't have the talent that the Dodgers have. You know, the Dodgers spent $200 million to buy a championship. You know, they've got, seven All-Stars and maybe 3 or 4 guys or more that are destined for the Hall of Fame. Compared to the Giants, they got, Crawford and Posey. That's about it, you know, and a bunch of guys that had up and down seasons. So what they got to do is they got to do something about that lineup. They got to get a couple of more stars, okay? And I have a name to offer. Starling Marte, okay? The A's are not going to pay for him. I know the Yankees are interested in him, but I would make a real strong play for him. He would fit perfectly. He would get you those singles, doubles, and triples you desperately need, you know, because you can't win in the playoffs with just home runs, okay? Anyway, that's what I got.
What do you think, Gina? You're confident your Red Sox can take care of business this postseason?
No, I'm not, and I'm fearing the my nightmare would be, of course, the Dodgers versus the Red Sox. Like, which team do I hate worse? I'd have to choose. So, I don't know. I'm hoping they do, but I don't think they will.
All right. Thank you. Good to hear from you. And someone else on the text line here for the 925. Man, guys, Marte would be amazing on this team also. Yeah, he's going to be pretty pricey. And again, that's fine, but... You know, Marcus Semien, I think, is more a Giants type of player, but they got to take care of the pitching. I'm going to not say that anymore. I think I've made my point because the starting pitching was so important to the success they had. And if you don't take care of your needs in the starting pitching department, doesn't matter if you get Marte, Correa, any of these guys, Marcus Semien, got to take care of the starting pitching.
They do, but they also, I don't want one guy. Like, I don't want Farhan and Kapler to come back to us next April and be like, all right, guys, we got Marcus Semien. I want it all. I want Semien. I want Marte. I want Castellanos. Okay? I want you to bring back Gausman. I want you to bring back Disco. Like, get out
what
there.
What about Bryant? Chris Bryant will not be
course,
cheap. You want him back, too? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. No. Whitey,
they're expensive.
Whitey, and guess what? We got the money here, man. You bring a contender in like you have this year, and you do this for the next decade. You're printing your own money, okay? If you don't, and you let guys walk, and you go with this Oakland A's, we're going to figure it out and piece things together every season, then you're going to have Oakland A's level of following, which, I mean, let's just be honest, okay? The people don't follow the A's because in part, I feel, and you can blame the ballpark or whatever, man, but that ballpark, back in the 80s, when you had Dave Stewart and company there, man, the people showed up to A's games, and no one showed up to the Giants games because the Giants were the Giants, right, in the 80s. But no, you need to go out there. You need to spend the money. If you continue with this figuring it out platoon, finding guys on the scrap heap, and that's all, then I'm out. But I am hopeful based on what I saw this season because I figure, okay, they figured out this bench thing. We have a good farm system coming up. Luciano, Helio Ramos, Joey Bart, Hunter Bishop. You got guys coming up though. But also go out and don't get one, don't get two. Get three of these guys, man, because that's what the Dodgers are going to do. The Dodgers, you think the Dodgers are done? You think the Dodgers aren't going to go after Marcus Semien, after Castellanos? They're going after the Dodgers. It's an arms race, Whitey. It's an arm race, and you better not lose because you don't cry broke. You got the money. That ballpark is paid off, and you sell it out every game.
They definitely have the money to spend. They don't have an infinite amount of money to spend, but even though the team this year looked at times a little ragtag, you know, their payroll was like top 10 this year, and it wasn't what the Dodgers were paying, but they did spend a lot of money on this roster. But I agree with you, they need to spend more, and they have the wherewithal to spend more. On the text line here, this is a great point. I know we're coming up against it here, but this is a great point here from the 510. Great question. Do you think MLB will change the playoff rule as far as matchups go? In basketball and football, you get a bigger advantage for having a great regular season. I know there's going to be a lot of talk about that. I think the one thing about that my guess would be MLB would not admit, but they loved it. I mean, the ratings were huge for that series. So while it seemed unfair, and yeah, you can make a strong case that, well, those teams, Dodgers, Giants, deserved better, whatever. I mean, it worked for baseball, right? That series was tremendously interesting and drew a lot of eyeballs. So the system, such as it is, while it seems in terms of competitive integrity a little out of whack, I think it worked, and it was a great series. It drew a lot of attention to baseball.
Yeah, and it was money. It was literally a great series. My favorite thing about the series was the amount of the defensive super plays that happened. Crawford and Justin Turner and you saw Mookie Betts out there, and the defense in the series was superb. And if you were a casual baseball fan and you watch this series, you're like, this is what baseball could be? Just the defense. You remember Web Gems? They still do Web Gems on ESPN, man. Like this whole series was full of Web Gems.
Brandon Crawford had a share, didn't he? Brandon Crawford makes plays you don't even notice anymore. It's like, yeah, he does that all the time, you know? You get used to the bar is so high with him. It's like, that. Yeah, that's just what he does all the time. But that was one of the key components to the success that the Giants had this year, and it was a big surprise how well they defended.
Hey, Whitey, you ready to go to the phone line? We've had Andrea, and Andrea's here. She said she has some things about Mercury in retrograde in the Flores call, man. You ready? You ready
Let's
for
do
a little?
It.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Andrea, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, except well. Mercury's in retrograde. Other than that, we're doing okay.
Yeah, I thought I'd put things in perspective. Mercury is a planet that rules communication, and it's retrograde three times a year for about 3 weeks at a time. September 26th to October 18th. And when Mercury retrogrades, there's tends to be more miscommunication, misunderstandings, confusion. So, you know, the message in this mess is that there probably needs to be replays and reviews, because Wilmer and the Giants deserved a better fate than, you know, being called out when he checked his swing. So I really think, you know, things happen for a reason, and replay review.
Andrea, why did this come back to haunt the Giants, and why didn't it have a negative impact on the Dodgers?
Yeah.
You said it. All right. Thank you. Thanks for your insight there, Andrea. We appreciate that. Coming up, I want to let you know that we're going to talk to SF Bay Steven Risotto about job one for Farhan this offseason. That's coming up. And remember, download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game to get breaking news updates, as well as links to the top interviews and best moments on The Game, powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. Steven Risotto, SF Bay, on what Farhan needs to get done this offseason. Next, Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Just want to say we really appreciate the feedback, especially today at 888-957-9570. Shamari and I are still trying to figure out, hey, what happened to this Giants season? It's Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game. On the text line from the 650, all in all, if Yaz isn't in a total funk, we move on. Yeah, Maybe so. From the 510. Giants fans found out why Moneyball fails in the playoffs. Superstar talent wins out the majority of the time. If the Giants don't open the pocketbooks, they're going to do a lot of losing to the Dodgers. And let's see here from the 415. Maybe Dave Roberts did a retrograde by starting his bullpen and then going with a starter, therefore canceling his retrograde. There you go, Shamari. I hadn't considered that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Dave Roberts, here's the funny thing. Martin Vallejo said that Kapler got outcoached, and I don't think that's true just because Dave Roberts made a move of like, listen, I have a bunch of big, mighty men over here. To quote Sir Mix-a-Lot, I got a deaf posse. You got a lot of dudes, okay? And then he's like, so here, I'm going to throw my guys out to get anybody and strike anybody out, and you figure your tinkering thing out. Oh, but, you know, only with seven innings instead of two. Instead of nine.
Yeah. Speaking of making a lot of sense, our next guest covers the Giants for sfbay.ca. He is the pride of Pacifica, California, Stephen Rizzotto with us. How are you today, Stephen?
I'm doing well. I appreciate that intro, pride of Pacifica.
Absolutely. What's your go-to when you go to Goodfellas? What's your go-to order?
I mean, Goodfellas, I mean, you can't really go against the pizza and pasta that they have down there. That's actually right down the street from my house. So
sure.
I go there pretty often. I go to the Upper Crust Deli right across the way. So
nice.
That's always a good place to go to whenever you're trying to – maybe I'll go there after. Maybe you just generated an idea for me. Appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
And don't even get me started on Columbo's Deli. We don't have time to get into that, Stephen.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah. Do you think we can all agree – Giants fans, Dodger fans, and, you know, tip of the cap to Dodger fans, but can we all agree that the way that series ended, the way it ended, not that it cost the Giants the game, but the way it ended was hollow, empty, and wholly unsatisfying with the call on the check swing?
No, that's a good way to put it, and I've heard every adjective in the book since this game ended, and the reality of it is that, you know, the psychology of a sports fan shows, I mean, we've seen it in the past. Nobody forgets about anything, right? I mean, 2002, nobody forgot. 2003, nobody forgot. Even recently, 2016, the loss in the division series, nobody forgot. And I do think that the ending left a horrible taste in the mouth of Giants fans, obviously. And it's just not something that you could end a game on. I mean, if you're Gabe Morales, the first base umpire, there has to be a light that goes on in your head, or there has to be some kind of understanding of the moment. I mean, it's game five of arguably, and according to Vin Scully, he said this, he tweeted this out, the most important game, the most important series, or at least one of them, in these two rivals' history. I mean, it's crazy to end a game like that. Now, I don't know if Wilmer Flores, who is, you know, who has not had a hit against Max Scherzer in his entire life, who knows what would have happened. But I do think that baseball...
He was due, Stephen. He was due.
Yeah, you could make that argument. But I do think that baseball has a way of playing games on you. And that's the great thing about the sport, is that anything could happen. And now, since the bat was, you know, taken out of his hands, it wasn't a swing, we'll never know what happened. He could have easily struck out looking on the next pitch, or hit a game-tying home run, and we'll never know. Or go-ahead home run, I should say, and we'll never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Zeven, so everybody, since this has happened, been like, there's going to be a rule change, finally, hallelujah. A big enough blunder has occurred that this is going to change the rules. I don't buy that, because Major League Baseball is Major League Baseball. Do you see this? Do you see this event leading to a change into the robot umpires at all?
I don't think so, because I think this is a check swing, and I think if teams were allowed to review check swings, that would get extremely, extremely exhausting. And I don't think,
right.
I think teams would even get sick of it. I mean, that's kind of going a little bit too far into it, in my opinion. I think in terms of a strike zone change with robots, and look, we saw Doug Eddings' strike zone on you know, it was not good. We saw him take the bat out of Chris Bryant's hands, and he's known to have a zone that's been all over the place. I think that's more realistic than having, you know, maybe a check swing go to replay. But balls and strikes, you know, it's being tried out at the minor league level. The umpire has an earpiece. I don't know if you want to put an AirPod in the home plate umpire's head, and they call balls and strikes based on an electronic that's customized for each hitter, their stance, their height, the way they stand at the plate. And that's basically how they've been how they've been operating. I think it's been successful. We don't really hear a lot about it. But is it coming to Major League Baseball? I don't know. I don't know who would be in favor of it. I think pitchers would definitely be in favor of it. It would eliminate the entire point of framing a ball. So I think catchers, a lot of them, would no longer, you know, be worth anything, because the ones that don't hit usually are relied upon because of their framing skills, and, you know, those guys would be out of the game. So it does hurt a lot of people, but I think, you know, baseball, in my opinion, I think there's still a human element that needs to be in there.
Yeah, Doug Eddings, was he calling the high strike or the low strike? Yes. Even the great Eric Gregg, rest in peace, would have said, man, that's kind of a large zone tonight. Stephen Rizzotto, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. Looking ahead to next year, Stephen, what would you say is at the very top of Farhan's offseason to-do list?
Undoubtedly, it has to be pitching. It has to be pitching, because for the sole reason that Logan Webb is your entire rotation as of right now for 2022. Anthony DeSclafani, free agent. Alex Wood, free agent. Kevin Gausman, free agent. Johnny Cueto, team option, $22 million. That is most definitely going to be denied. So you need a rotation. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't go into 2022 with just Logan Webb. Now there's some free agent arms that are available. They're a little bit older. Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, those types. Max Scherzer is available, but I think LA has to be the front runners for Max Scherzer. But I think you have to start with pitching. And if Farhan Zaidi does kind of what he did, you know, this past offseason with getting reclamation projects a la DeSclafani and Wood, maybe that's the route he goes. Maybe he gets a more kind of, developed and accomplished arm like Marcus Stroman, who's out there and who's attractive, and I think the most attractive free agent pitcher on the market because of what he brings on and off the field. Maybe they find someone in their minor league system to bring up. I know Sean Gelly is at the higher levels of the minor leagues. Maybe he gets a call and he gets a shot as maybe a number five in spring training. Or, I mean, the easy route would be to re-sign a few of those guys, right? I mean, Gausman pitched like a Cy Young candidate the first half of the season, stumbled a little bit in the second half, but had a great finish to the season. And DeSclafani was consistent through it all. Obviously left kind of a bad taste in his mouth, or in the mouth of Giants fans in that game four performance. And Alex Wood was solid. So, I mean, there's a lot of options to go there, but I think obviously starting rotation would be number one. And then you look at, you know, what it takes to get Chris Bryant back. Because at the time, I didn't see them making the Chris Bryant move and letting him walk in the offseason. I think he likes it there. I think he feels like he could fit there long term. He's versatile. I don't know how much players like being versatile and being used in the way that he's been used, but you know, when you're on a team that wins 107 games, I don't really think it matters where you play. So, you know, Chris Bryant, and obviously he was outstanding in the division series. He was their best hitter by far. Maybe you get some help in the outfield. You get some, you know, help out there on, you know, a corner outfield spot. Mike Yastrzemski's decline this season, I think, has to come into, you know, a factor. Maybe you bring in an accomplished outfielder. But there's a lot of things that they'll do, I think, and they're going to have money to do it. So Farhan Zaidi, I think if we've learned anything from him, it's expect the unexpected.
Yeah, to that point, and I'm asking you to speculate here, but Farhan has been with the Oakland Athletics, who, as you mentioned, reclamation projects and this and that. And he's also been with the Dodgers, who reclamation projects and big money contracts on top of it. What do you think, which Farhan do you think we'll see with the Giants, given the Giants' ability to go out there and spin?
I think it's going to be a mix. I think you bring up a great point, and I was thinking about this too. Farhan Zaidi started off as an executive, as you mentioned, in Oakland with a team with a limited amount of money, you know, limited payroll. And then he went to L.A. and he got to drive the Ferrari. So San Francisco, I think, is kind of, you know, San Francisco has money. They're a big market team by every stretch of the imagination. But now he's going to get a chance to show off what he can do because those contracts are coming off the books. Some of them are still there. I think Posey's probably going to get brought back with that club option. But Brandon Belt, you know, I don't know what happens there. Evan Longoria next season, after next season. So I think it's going to be a mix of both. I think when you bring, when you have a small market approach with money, you could afford some of the bigger free agents. And I think reclamation projects are going to be a strategy, whatever your payroll is. And I think Farhan has established that he's good at doing that. He's good at finding guys that need a change of scenery. DeSclafani pitched in Cincinnati. And if anybody knows anything about Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, it's that if you walk out of there, like, alive, that's lucky as a pitcher. Because, like, it's just not a place where you go and put up numbers. And, you know, that was something that Farhan Zaidi noticed, and he took a stab at bringing in DeSclafani. But I think now, with the money coming off the books, the Dodgers were able to trade for Max Scherzer. That's a big move. The Dodgers were able to trade for Trey Turner because they have a farm system. And the Giants have their farm system replenished. It's getting better by the second. And they're making the mold exactly like L.A. did, where, you know, the Dodgers still have guys that they could bring up and they could make an immediate impact. It might not be what it once was, but it's still there. Don't get me wrong. So I think the Giants, if they can make that same mold that the Dodgers have with a great farm system and a lot of money to spend, and combine that with kind of the small market Oakland A's philosophy, I think that there's a lot of success there because that's where the game is trending.
We are wrapping up the Giants season with Stephen Rizzuto, who covers the Giants for sfbay.ca. Stephen, of course, a product of Terra Nova High and Pacifica, which also produced the great Keith Hernandez. Stephen, this is probably a little tricky one, so obviously just asking for your opinion. What about this team and the season they had, do you think probably surprised Farhan the most?
That's a good question, and I'm thrown off because I did not go to Terra Nova. I went to Archbishop Reardon High School in San Francisco.
Oh, my
shout
goodness.
Shout out Crusaders.
What a blunder on my part. My apologies.
Oh, no, it's completely good. Terra Nova, much respect there.
Keith Hernandez did go there. I got that part right anyway, didn't I?
Yes, you did get Keith Hernandez is the pride of Terra Nova, so you did get that right.
Okay.
As for the question, Farhan Zaidi, what he might be most impressed with, I separated in the different categories, and I would put the veterans atop the list. The way the veterans, and I know we keep using this term, and it's become kind of cliche in a sense, but buy in. And I still don't think it's the right terminology to use, but I do think it applies here. It does apply here. Buying in with, you know, this group of, you know, with this group of coaches and you know, analytics still becoming new to some of the veteran players was a huge deal. And I do think it allowed Buster Posey to have a career year because, you know, he was put on a schedule that suited him perfectly. Brandon Crawford changed his swing, became a monster at the plate, and put himself in MVP conversations. Brandon Belt, same thing. I think he had a huge impact with this coaching staff. Longoria had a great start in the first half before his injury. So I'd put the veterans in a category. I really would. And then I would put the pitching. I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier with how they rebuilt their pitching staff with a ton of misfits. In another category, I'd put the bullpen. The bullpen is full of guys that were essentially minor league free agents that didn't really have a home. And they put up some of the best numbers in the sport when it comes to bullpenning. Even when Alex Wood went down with COVID, he went on the COVID IL and the bullpen kind of had to fill in once a week. They still had the best bullpen ERA throughout that entire point. And they're not a high strikeout bullpen. So that's impressive. And my friend Doug Hayes of the Say Hey podcast, he mentioned this to me. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, where they're cops and they're known as The Other Guys. The other guys of this Giants team would be Lamont Wade Jr., Austin Slater, Darren Ruff, you know, Mike Yastrzemski. those would be the other guys. And the work that they did this season off the bench in the lineup was probably something that Gabe Kapler should be most proud of. And the Giants had 18 pinch hit home runs. And that's how many a guy has throughout the course of his entire career. And they did it collectively. Basically, pinch hitting this season for the Giants was their ninth position player. That's basically what I viewed it as. They were so aggressive in the fifth inning and the sixth inning to pinch hit and keep the line moving with a line change. They got the matchups they wanted. They did it consistently. It was huge for them to do that. And then the other category, the last one, was the coaching staff. And a lot of people made fun of the fact that this coaching staff was young and like they were full of, you know, D3 caliber players, and now they're big league coaches. And it's worked to their advantage because now they have so many of them that the players can focus on, you know, working on something for their individual game opposed to tracking down like six coaches. So there's more one-on-one time with each coach to each player, and it was huge. And I do think that Farhan Zaidi has a lot to be proud of, but the fact that there's so much to even consider, that should be an accomplishment in its own right. And when you win 107 games, it's not just one area that has to go right. It's everything that has to go right, and I think everything did go right.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead. You mentioned
Sean Jelly, the big 6'10" Randy Johnson clone, at least in size anyway. You also have Marco Luciano. You got Patrick Bailey. You have Hunter Bishop and Elia Ramos and all these guys we heard about. But are any of these guys going to be – should we expect to see any of these guys you've been hearing so much about for the last couple of years contribute next season?
I think Ramos is close. I think he's very, very close. Got up to Sacramento this season. He's a guy that could easily compete for a spot in spring training on the roster. We saw what he did in spring training 2021. He put up numbers. Joey Bart is the most confusing player in this entire organization, because if the Giants bring back Buster Posey, Joey Bart is yet again blocked. And there's no doubt that he's MLB ready. It's just a matter of where he's going to play. Brandon Belt's leaving. I don't know if the Giants make the switch to put Bart at first base. I don't know if that's an option, especially when you develop a guy as a catcher and, you know, he eventually becomes a pretty good catcher. You don't want to lose that, because catchers and good ones are hard to come across, and they usually do develop a little bit later. He's definitely ready, I think. One name to keep in mind that is not necessarily big league ready yet, but is going to be an absolute monster, and I think a lot of experts in terms of Giants prospects will agree here, Kyle Harrison. Kyle Harrison's a left-hander, pitched with San Jose and in low A ball last year with San Jose, and he's a Bay Area kid. I believe he's from Santa Rosa, and he is an absolute monster on the mound. And I believe he had 157 strikeouts in 157 strikeouts in 98 and two-thirds innings.
Wow.
That is exceptionally huge. And a disgusting lefty. San Jose overall had incredible strikeout numbers, but Kyle Harrison was leading that charge. Left-hander, keep an eye on him. Luis Matos, who's also in San Jose, just won, I believe, the MVP of the Low A West League. He put up huge numbers, 15 homers, 313 average. He was exceptional down there with a 358 on base. So the Giants, their whole system is completely transformed. It's gotten a lot better. As for MLB ready, I think the names that we'd be looking at right now would be not Luis Matos. He's probably still got another few years or a year left. But I would say the biggest names right now are Joey Bart and Elliot Ramos to make an impact on this team in the immediate future.
Hear him on the Rizzocast podcast. Check out his Giants coverage at sfbay.ca. Steven Rizzotto. Steven, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Opening day is not far away. It never is. Have a great weekend, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on, and go Crusaders.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. Shamari, if I may, one more quick point, and then I'll stop. on the check swing. Because, again, I'm not saying that's what cost the Giants the season. It was unfortunate. Here's what baseball needs to do, because this was a huge part of two crucial games this year between the Giants and Dodgers. And I know the Giants got the better of one of these terrible decisions, but the NCAA rulebook says a check swing will be called a strike, quote, if the barrel head of the bat crosses the front edge of home plate or the batter's front hip. So what is a swing? What is a check swing? What is a swing? The NCAA rulebook says barrel head of the bat crosses the front edge of home plate or the batter's front hip, okay? Major League Baseball rule makes no such distinctions. It does not. It merely says if the guy offered at it and the umpire thinks so, it's a strike. So at the very least,
at it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they could address that. That's all I'm saying on the text line here. One thing I don't get is why the umpire can see the catcher clearly move the mitt from out of the strike zone into the strike zone right after they catch the ball. Isn't that a clear indicator to the umpire that the pitch is a ball? Yet half of the time the umpire calls it a strike. Yeah, it's like they call it the framing, and it's an art. And, I mean, a guy who does it really well, it's hard to notice. I'll tell you one guy who doesn't do it so well, and you can't see him now. They're done. But Gary Sanchez of the Yankees, I could swear – every pitch, no matter where he catches it, Shamari, he brings a mitt right back to the center of the strike zone. And sometimes that's okay. But when you're reaching for a ball in the dirt and then you snap the mitt back, if I was an umpire, I'd say, dude, stop it. What do you think I'm stupid? Yeah. I saw where you got the ball.
Subtlety, right? It's like it'd be subtle. A little movement. Yeah, goodness gracious, man. Yeah, no. I'll be honest. I'm all for framing, but to the texter's point in the 5.0, Will Smith, especially with the umpiring crew from Thursday, like Will Smith, it was kind of he was moving his glove like a good 6-7 inches, and
yeah.
I'm like, strike, and I'm like, no, he grabbed it, he grabbed it six inches out of the strike zone, yeah. Oh, it so it's an art, but then also at some point it's like the umpire's a doofus, right? Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's an art where it's like, oh, I just suddenly move the glove an inch or two in. And it's another thing when a dude's grabbing it outside, moving it in, and the umpire's like, you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw on Thursday night, which is why I get what the texter is saying, man. That was
I do
bad.
Too. I do too. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like flopping in basketball. And I understand it's part of the game, but I wouldn't mind if baseball said, hey, look, we can't have that anymore because the catchers are not allowed to do that because they're just tricking the umpires, especially when baseball is so desperate for more offense. Just forbid the catchers from doing that. Say, look, guys, don't do that anymore. I don't know what the punishment would be. It's like if you get caught doing that blatantly, it's a ball or something. I don't think it's great for the sport. I understand why it's there, and if I'm a catcher, that's what I do. Guys make a lot of money if they're able to frame, but I think baseball, maybe they need to take a look at that. That said, again, that's not why the Giants lost. But, Shamari, now that baseball is over, hey, basketball season, right? The NBA season tipping off on Tuesday, so coming up. We'll look at the Warriors and the NBA owner who says he enjoys beating Steph more than beating anybody else. Who is that? Why would he say such a thing? That's next with Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason on 95.7 The Game.